friends and planet ninjas. Welcome to WWF India's podcast series, Panda Speaks. This is a special episode as we have a very special guest with us today. In the year 2019, as WWF India celebrated 50 years of its conservation efforts, he joined in to support the education work. The five-time World Chess Champion joined WWF India as its ambassador for the environment education programs. My guest for today's episode is fondly and respectfully called the Grandmaster, Tiger of Madras, and the Lightning Kid by many. He's the winner of the Padma Shri and the Padma Vibhushan, and I'm absolutely elated to be in conversation with him. I have with me none other than Vishwanathan Anand, and this special episode is called A Dialogue with the Grand Master. I will not get into the introduction of the game he plays, and neither will talk much. Rather, we'll hand over the spotlight to him. Anand, a very warm welcome to WWF India's podcast, Panda Speaks, for and with the children of India.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Anand, you are the brand ambassador of WWF India's education work. What made you decide on supporting the work we do?
Well, there are many reasons, and quite far back from my childhood. My father was in the railways, and we had all these huge railway bungalows. And I remember seeing all sorts of interesting birds. Once I saw a bright blue bird with a fish in its beak. I couldn't believe that it was actually holding a fish. So I went and asked my father, and he said it must be a kingfisher, an expert fisher and diver, which is found near water bodies. And of course, we were near a water body in Chennai. Beyond that, I would read about elephants, tigers, and some of these animals look so friendly and affectionate. Well, you develop a fondness for them. We also had lovely trees in the garden, and I can share that for me to this day, it makes me very happy to see a Gulmohar. So that connection was always there. And over time, I've observed that these joys that you take for granted actually can very easily disappear. So like I said, there are many things in nature that make you very happy. And I love being in parks or even further out there. Sometimes I go for a holiday, and then you really get to connect with nature. And it genuinely makes you happy. I believe that this world is under some threat, you know, this untouched world. We need to get involved. At some level, it's a question of personal actions, but it's not enough. We also need to change policy to tell other people about how important this is and educate others. Talk about why a greener and more sustainable world is in our interest as well. And it is important to pass on this love of nature and this incredible heritage that we have to the next generation properly. So I shared WWF India's environmental education efforts, and I look forward to working with them to get more and more children and people involved, because it's really about conserving what you really appreciate.
Absolutely, Anand. We have had some amazing interactions between you and the winners of Wild Wisdom Quiz last year. Playing any kind of sport develops strategic thinking, goal setting, discipline, and leadership skills. Simultaneously, connecting with nature also builds values, you know, like empathy, resilience, and respect. These are also the values and skills that people should have for building a better and a sustainable world. You are a chess grandmaster and also passionate about the environment. What are the parallels that you draw in chess and the environment?
Okay, that's an interesting train of thought. The first thing you learn in chess is that decisions and moves have consequences. This seems straightforward. At first you think, well, if I make a move and it's a bad move and I lose something, then I don't get that piece back. And also you cannot take back a move in chess. But in a broader sense, you can say that I will make a pawn move very early in the opening, maybe my move 10. And then on move 50, the square that I weakened will come back to haunt me. It shows that all the pieces on the board, the entire position is connected. It's interconnected. And you can't just do something on one side and expect it will not affect you later. That is one obvious connection. And in nature as well, we have this concept, which is developing the concept of Gaia, for instance, is that everything is connected. And if you hurt one thing, eventually that is transmitted to everything else. The second thing is, of course, chess pieces all are important, even whether they are the least powerful ones like pawns or the most powerful ones like the king and queen. So in nature, you can say that the king and queen are like apex predators, and the knights, the bishops, the pawns all represent the other species. And you constantly see this concept in nature that if you start destroying one part of the forest or affecting one of the species living there, eventually all of them suffer. And there are, you know, there are beautiful analysis done about how if you hurt the elephant, eventually it hurts the quality of the forest because the elephant plays a very, very critical role in dispersal and things like that. When you take away the apex predator, then some kind of species increases in number tremendously. It eventually outgrows its thing. Literally, the thing is you remove a piece and the position doesn't make sense anymore. And this interconnectivity is, I think, the most important thing that we can see both in chess and in nature. And finally, you can salvage, you can rectify a mistake. Not all mistakes are fatal. In fact, some mistakes simply reduce your margin of error. So in the same way, if I make one bad move, maybe I don't lose, but it forces me to play accurately after that. In the same way, even though we have committed a lot of mistakes, we have cut down way too many trees, we are dumping way too much rubbish, and most of it is thoughtless. I don't think anyone sets out to destroy the environment. It's just thoughtlessness. And then it reduces your margin of error. If you want clean water, if you want fresh air, if you want all the things that nature gives us for free, then you have to play accurately and recover the situation. And that means correcting our way of doing things. And while there is still time, this can be, again, what I said earlier, that the things that you do yourself, reducing the waste, what you do in your immediate environment, but also supporting people who do it elsewhere and letting them support you and exchanging ideas. It's not only about, you know, I will switch off the light when I leave the room and I will turn off the tap when I don't need it. These are important, but also working together with others. And I think that's the obvious parallel that comes to me from chess.
This is so amazing, Anand. The thing that you have said about, you know, that in a game you can have a bad move, but it's not the end. There is still a way of, you know, getting winning and, you know, having a good game. And similarly, we've made mistakes, but there is still time to rectify what we have done. So I really enjoyed listening to that. And I'm sure my viewers did too. So now I come to my next question. Where I want you to share some of your winning moves with our listeners.
In chess as well, there are no winning moves per se, except at the very end of the game. But there are a lot of good moves that make your life easier. If you make two good moves, your position will improve enough and it'll take some pressure off you. Today, let me focus on winning moves to help protect our environment. Many years ago, I went on a holiday. And in the resort, they had this very interesting thing saying, if we wash your towels every day, it takes, I don't know, 80 or 90 liters per towel. And would you mind using the same towel twice? It said, if you leave the shower while you're soaping, that's like 27 or 30 liters. If you leave the tap on while you're brushing your teeth, that's what I remember is about 9 or 10 liters. And since that day, I'm pretty disciplined. I never let the tap run when I actually don't need it. I switch it off, switch it on, switch it on. And it's about thoughtlessness. We don't leave the tap on because it serves any purpose. We leave it on because we think it's inconvenient to turn it on again. And why should I have to bother? And you just, but it takes 2 seconds. All you need to do is turn it off, do what you need, turn it on again, and it's there. I cannot say my life has been inconvenienced in the least by doing it. But I feel better knowing that that much water wasn't wasted. And here the principle of doing no harm comes in. I cannot guarantee you that this step or that step will make a difference, but I can guarantee you it doesn't make the problem worse. There is no scenario where using something unnecessarily is better than using it responsibly. The clearest example is water, and maybe for me, it particularly personal because I live in Chennai. I grew up in Chennai, and we are one of the most fortunate areas in terms of rain and water bodies, which is why the city grew so much. But water is always a problem here. For as long as I can remember, people are waiting in line with buckets to collect water from tankers. Tankers have been part of our world more or less for my entire lifetime. But it's crazy. The hand we were dealt, if we had allowed the water bodies to be untouched and we had the city have developed around it instead of over it, we would be doing fine. I mean, nature gave us all the cards. A couple of years ago, we had a cyclone, and then we had too much water, but the water had nowhere to go. So that was a calamity. A couple of years later, the city actually ran out of water. There was no water left. And we started trucking in water from 200, 300 kilometers away instead of from closer by. Of course, the city has then taken some steps. Rainwater harvesting has been implemented to some degree and so on. And the situation has improved, but it has improved because we have had better rains. And we've been lucky. If we are tested again, I hope the steps we did make a difference. Another area is, for instance, waste and things like plastic. I don't say that plastic is necessarily a bad thing. It can be used very sensibly. So if you use a plastic cup to drink water, and then you keep it aside and you use it 10 or 20 times, just wash it a little bit and don't waste it and throw it away, then you are reducing this waste. The next winning move, I would say, is let's talk about plastic. If we use plastic irresponsibly, that is single use, you throw it away, you just keep throwing away plastic bottles, plastic cups, bags, straws, anything, then the waste starts accumulating. And we can see that this waste does not disappear. It doesn't just go, it goes into the oceans and from there it comes back to us. But also it stays in our cities. You can see it. Everywhere you drive, you look on both sides of the road, there's just plastic and all the stuff accumulating. So the winning move is to reduce our use. If we're using plastic, reuse it as much as possible. When you finally are finished with it, dispose of it responsibly, segregate the waste, do it in the proper manner. And this will eventually reduce the load on nature and on our surroundings. So I've given two winning moves so far. The first winning move is be as responsible as possible with the use of water. The second winning move is to be responsible with segregating waste, especially with plastics, because they don't decompose by themselves. A third winning move, I would say, is just to be very careful the way we use energy. Just like leaving a tap running, there is no need to leave lights and fans on in rooms where you're not present. Turning your computer off every night, turning your appliances off makes the house quieter and reduces the amount of energy that we waste. And finally, a fourth winning move is to think carefully about what you're buying. Whatever kind of product you buy, you can ask yourself, do I really need this? Or am I buying it because it's been advertised so much at me? Will my old product work well enough? Can I dispose of this properly when I'm done with it? And if we take these four winning moves that I've suggested, we can have a huge impact on the environment. And I can tell you that once the changes are hardwired and you're used to making them, there is no inconvenience at all. There is no inconvenience in flipping a light switch back on again. There's no inconvenience in turning a water tap on again. It's just a question of making the decision, a few days to get used to it. And we have some nice winning moves that we can use.
Wow, these are brilliant green moves for our listeners. And I'm surely going to look at the chessboard in a much different light from here on. You have beautifully compared some of the chess moves with nature. And you've given us some very simple ideas and thoughts and inspired us to, you know, go on and lead a green and a good life. And it'll come back to us. It'll make our life safer and better. So now I come to my next question, which is, I'd like to hear from you. What is your favorite chess piece and why?
I'm asked this question a lot. And I would say that, more to the point, people have remarked that my favorite piece is the knight. I don't realize it myself. Maybe I have an unconscious tendency towards the knight, but other people have told me that there is something different between me and the knight. That's the piece that I like to play with. But this is an interesting moment to mention something. One is, if you play enough chess games, you will have to play with every piece. So you cannot have such strong preferences. You say, I'm going to try and exchange the bishop for the knight every chance I get, or I'm going to avoid the rooks. You cannot do it. If you follow the logic of the position, there are situations where you will have to play with every piece. Once again, the interconnectedness of chess and nature can be seen in parallel. In nature, we always look at the most beautiful species and think how essential they are to life. But if you keep reading about the subject, if you keep studying the subject, you then find that the smallest creatures have a disproportionate impact. Without the beetles and the insects and the pollinators, nothing big can happen. The plant world cannot spread, and the whole way that nature regenerates itself can shut down. Then you see the uncharismatic animals like vultures and hyenas, and they seem cruel to us. But when we think about it, that's nature's way of recycling. It takes the dead bodies. These crucial animals then play their role. And the nutrients and the material is released for the next set of creatures. Without them, this system would shut down. So in chess, you see that every piece has a critical role to play at some point or the other. And it's the same in nature. We simply do not know all the interconnections, but by now we can see that every piece or animal that we have studied plays a critical role. So it stands to reason that the ones that we don't fully understand as well probably are playing some vital role. And when nature suffers, we are not separate from it. If it doesn't rain or the temperature changes, then we feel it. Our cities feel it. Everything breaks down. So it's very important to be responsible and also to keep in mind that we must do no harm. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we can be flippant about it. So having this inbuilt respect for nature and appreciating that everything probably has a critical role to play is a good, very, very good place to start.
Indeed, Anand. I think so. The parallels you draw are so beautiful to chess. There's a whole new perspective that we have gained today. And Anand, as an ambassador of WWF India's environment education initiatives, you provide impetus and strength to its mission of building a cadre of people who care for nature. WWF India recently launched the Wild Wisdom Global Challenge 2021. Which is a new digital avatar of Asia's biggest wildlife quiz, the Wild Wisdom Quiz. May I request you to share a message for the aspiring participants who are joining from across India and the globe?
Of course. My association with WWF India is older. And in fact, I have myself, when I was young, seen some of these quizzes and so on. And quizzes are a very nice way to challenge yourself and think, what facts do I actually know? And they bring out very interesting things. Sometimes you will get the answers correct, but sometimes you'll make a mistake. And when you realize the right answer, what the right answer is, you'll immediately see that, oh, I had that wrong and I didn't realize this or that. And these kinds of facts are very nice to share. It might interest you to know that one of the ways I remember things in chess is to have one of my trainers give me a quick quiz. There is something about the problem-solving nature in a quiz where you'd have to figure out the answer. that helps you remember this stuff for a long time. And it's fun. That's how most kids get engaged. That's how young minds get engaged, if we make it fun and challenging. And I encourage the Wild Wisdom Quiz to continue generating youthful nature enthusiasts. This year, the Wild Wisdom Challenge will go on a very exciting and reflective journey. They're going to use a lot of interesting facts and messages from the David Attenborough film, A Life on Our Planet. I'm sure many of you have seen this, because if nothing else, the photography and the interesting new facts that have come out make it well worth watching. And there are many behaviors that you cannot know until you've observed it with the camera. Because the human eye humans cannot sit in one place and watch an animal for 1 year. But a camera can, and it can sit there patiently. Even if there's a sighting 2 times a year, it can patiently sit there and capture that. And then these bring out new facts about the way animals are that we can never discover otherwise. And for me, this series has increased my appreciation for the natural world so much. So I encourage you all to join the Wild Wisdom Global Challenge 2021. Log on to quiz.wwfindia.org and have a blast thinking about nature.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to our audience, Anand. You are such an inspiration. So listeners, here we come to the end of this episode of Panda Speaks. And I am sure you are going to remember all the winning moves that the Grandmaster has shared with us today. There are some of the moves that can help us in creating a greener planet today and a safer future for ourselves tomorrow. So Planet Ninjas, write to us or send us a voice note on edu@wwfindia.net telling us what were your takeaways from today's episode. For learning more about how and what you can do for the environment and become a Planet Ninja, subscribe to our podcast series, Panda Speaks. Thank you.